talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. And our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide tips, advice, resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, you can do that. Also, you can download them if you go to the LA Talk Radio website, and that's latalkradio.com. If you're listening to us live, you're already there. So click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1, scroll down and look at the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. And this takes you directly to the archive page where you can view the list of our past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes. Yes, iTunes. So you can go under the podcast section and you just type Question Reality Radio in the search box. And then if you want to find out about our future guests, we are booked until May. Hip, hip, hooray. Love it. Thank you, fans and people. You can go to the official Question Reality website, and that address is questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com. Now, we have, as usual, a fantastic guest for you today. He is a, oh my goodness, I just can't even believe he's on the show. I just don't even know what to do with myself. I'm all over myself right now. I was even thinking about having a cocktail just to celebrate in his honor, because I know those musicians cocktail it up. His name is Monty Pittman, and he is just incredible. He's a rock musician. All right, let's just tell you a little bit about him, but I don't want to spill the beans because I want him to tell you all about him yourself, and we're going to talk to him in a couple minutes. But he is a rock musician who is about to release his second album, which is called Pain, Love, and Destiny, on October the 3rd. And in addition to being a solo rocker, he's also known as Madonna's live guitarist since 2001, and he also taught her to play, and as well as Adam Lambert's live guitarist and musical director. He's also the top artist in history to have raised the most money on Kickstarter, $65,500. Now, that is amazing to me, because I tell you, you are lucky to get $1 on Kickstarter when you're trying to raise money for film. I don't know what he's advertising on Kickstarter, but I'm going to check it out the next time I get an email, because that is absolutely incredible. So we are going to talk to him in a couple of minutes. You might want to go to his website and check that out. It's MontyPittman.com, MontyPittman.com. And check him out. Now, get your pens and paper ready, because we got a couple little classes, a couple events I want to tell you about. The first one is for David Rappaport's casting directing workshop. His assistant, or associate rather, Lindsay Baldessar, is coming to the Exposure Studio Monday, February 27th at 7:30. And the Exposure Studio is located 741 North Cahuenga Boulevard in Los Angeles, 90038. And again, that's Monday, February 27th from 7:30 to 9:30. And David Rappaport casting is a huge casting director's office. Lindsay has cast for him for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Sons of Anarchy, The Runaways, et cetera, et cetera. Best way to find out her tons of credits. Our list of credits is to go to imdb.com and type her name in and see what she has been working on these days. But this workshop would be fantastic to go to if you want to be on any of those shows. Next, we have on March 13th, Michael Torbiak, and he is with Jimmy Kimmel Live. And Michael Torbiak has been discovering new talent and working with some of the top names in film and TV at MTV, Bravo, and E! For nearly a decade. And for 2 years now, Michael has been the casting associate for the comedy segments on ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live. And the show casts, as you know, on a daily basis for things like camera work, voiceovers, dancers, and also musicians. So they often bring in talent at a moment's notice for that night's show. So that's really good. You can go to a class, meet him, and then if he likes you, call you in for that night. Now, Michael works closely with Kimmel's writers and directors to cast the bits for the show's monologue and also the pre-taped segments that involve the celebrity talent, the musicians on a regular basis. And he is just so nice. I have heard so many stories about him. I have not gone to a casting director workshop with him, but I hear he is super nice, very approachable. So it would behoove you to check out this class. And this is Tuesday, March 13th at 8 o'clock. And the class is only $45. So that is a small price to pay for a possible meeting with the legendary Michael Torbiak. So you might want to check that out. You can email me for information on that, but that is something I highly recommend. So there you go, my two little tips for the week. Now, back to Mr. Monty Pittman. Now, as I told you, Mr. Monty Pittman is here, and we are going to listen to him now. Monty Pittman, are you there?
I'm here. Hello. Thanks for having me.
God, Monty Pittman, you know, I swear to God, I am, you know, I couldn't even believe when Stephen said, oh, by the way, he gives me a list of people that he, Stephen Levine people is, he owns Grapevine PR, and he is Monty's PR agent. So he'll send me an email and he'll say, well, this is my client, or I just got a new client. Are you interested in having on the show? And when I saw Mr. Monty Pittman's name, I nearly had a heart attack, because my husband, who is software developer by day, jazz guitar player by night, knows all the guitar players. Yeah. So I said, Albert, do you know Mr. Monty Pittman? And he said, Monty Pittman, Madonna's guitar player. And I said, oh, does he play for Madonna? Me, I am not into music. I don't know. You know, I'm not really too hip on it. I mean, I know basic things, but I don't know all of the musicians that play, but he knows everybody. So he said, oh my God, Monty Pittman's going to be on your show. I said, yes, he is. So I just feel so, I know. Well, first of all, now Madonna was my idol back in the day. I mean, whose idol was she not? She was like every girl who wanted to be hip, happening, and cool. Madonna was it, because I'm way 80s, Monty. Way 80s here. So I loved everything 80s. So it's such an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Well, yeah. Now, did you? I do expect you to bring me a lock of Madonna's hair when she's not looking. Now, that's the price of being on the show here.
Yeah, I don't know how she'd take that if I were to try to cut some of her hair off.
I know. She would come over here and she would beat my butt if I ever requested that. Now, Adam Lambert also was we're huge American Idol fans, and when Adam Lambert was on the show, my God, we just knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was going to be the winner. As a matter of fact, when we saw him in auditions, my husband and I said, oh, hands down, there's no one going to win. He will win American Idol. As a matter of fact, I started a pool, and I ended up losing because the other guy won, but I just, my heart just sank when he didn't win. But I tell you, he made up for it, which goes to prove you don't have to win American Idol. I mean, look at the people who have gone on to have extreme success. So that must feel like an honor to play for Adam Lambert.
Yeah, well, we don't play together anymore. Now Tommy Ratliff, who used to be his bass player, plays guitar for him.
Well, he's doing
an incredible job, as to be expected.
Oh my God! Well, he's so talented. Now let's talk about you a little bit.
I wish those guys nothing but the best. you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, as a musician, that's one of the things. Now, that when I heard that you've been playing with Madonna since 2001, that is an absolute incredible boon of luck, because musicians, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but musicians usually, unless they're in a band with someone, they don't usually stay that long, or they're not with an artist that long, and or at least that's what I've heard. So that is incredible, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. It's one of those things that you don't really always notice while it's happening. It's kind of like you look back on it and go like, wow, you know, a lot of time has passed now.
Uh-huh, right. Well, it was an interesting story that I read of how you even met Madonna. Why don't we tell the audience how that happened? Because I found that to be a fascinating story about when you were working in Guitar Center. Why don't we tell the audience that?
Yeah, well, I started teaching her how to play guitar. And a month after she first started taking lessons from me, she invited me to play on the David Letterman show with her. And that was 12 years ago this year. And, you know, I've been with her ever since for any kind of live shows. I played on some songs, wrote some songs with her. It's been a great, you know, you couldn't pick a better boss to have.
Wow.
I think the best is yet to come also. Her new album is going to, you're going to lose your mind when you hear this new album. It might be my favorite thing that she's ever done.
Really? What's it titled?
It is phenomenal. It's called MDNA. Comes out at the end of March. Comes out in a month.
Wow.
Beyond phenomenal.
And what's the name of the song that they're really, like, you know how every album will have a song that they say, oh my God, that one, we feel so great about that. That's the one that's going to soar over the moon. What's the name of that song? Or can you tell?
I don't think there's any bad. Well, no, you can go on iTunes. You should. You should go on iTunes and go ahead and order it, because it's all you're going to be listening to for the rest of the year.
Wow. Well, there you go.
No, I'm not just saying that. It is, you know, I'm very blown away by the album.
You really feel it.
I don't know. There's not any dead space. There's not one part of the album where you go, huh? You know, like everything is interesting all the way through. It's really cool.
Well, you know, I'm glad you're saying that. That's exciting, because you know how
it's exciting. Yeah, it's an exciting time to be playing with her. Yeah, I'm really excited about the tour coming up. Start the tour at the end of May, and then
does she play first on the tour? Where does she go first?
We start in Tel Aviv.
Ah, okay. And what is it, a year tour or 6 month tour? Or?
I don't know for sure exactly. Okay. You know, dates keep coming out, so I know that Yankee Stadium. I mean, I heard this. I didn't read this. Someone told me that it sold out in like 20 minutes or something. But
wow.
Maybe it was 30 minutes. Maybe it was something. I don't know. But it was, you know, it wasn't long before it sold out, or it was close to selling out something. But
what are some of the cities? You know, because our radio show is international. What are some of the cities that are on the schedule for the tour? We got Tel Aviv. What are some of the other places?
I don't know off the top of my head. I don't really look at those things until we're there.
Until you get there, musicians never know what city they're in. Is that true?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it's very. I've got bigger fish to fry right now.
Oh,
we're going. You know, we're definitely going to LA. I think that's October 10th.
Oh, okay.
At the Staples Center.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, so the tour will be going to there. And I mean, I guess you never know.
Oh, well, we're excited for you. Congratulations on that.
I've never been more excited to be playing with her than right now.
Well, every time she comes out with a new song, I've never been more excited, because that is one person that is constantly reinvents herself. And that's a hard thing to do. It really is. It is an artist. I mean, yeah, I'd be happy being a one-hit wonder personally. I mean, that would be fine with me, because a lot of one-hit wonders end up having a song that, I mean, we listen to them from the 30s, 40s, 50s. I'd be happy with that. But it ta- takes an incredible amount of business savvy as well as talent to constantly reinvent yourself. And how many times has Madonna done that? She's still relevant. She will always be relevant. She'll be 70 and 80 and she'll still be relevant. So
I totally agree with you. Yeah.
It's incredible to play with someone of that iconic status. So you go, boy, honey. All right. So you know what I wanted to talk about? The story, we just briefly touched about how you ended up playing for Madonna. But for the audience, to kind of give them a little bit of hope and inspiration, I want to delve deep into the details of that. I heard that you came from Longview, Texas, and you made the bold decision at 24 years old to move to L.A. to pursue a career as a professional musician. And when you got here, you ended up working at Guitar Center. Now, everyone here in L.A. knows Guitar Center, and so many musicians end up playing there. And you realized that you were better at teaching than selling, so you left to start providing guitar lessons. So as fate would have it, your third student ended up being British filmmaker Guy Ritchie, who had just received a guitar from his girlfriend Madonna. And then afterwards, you guys hit it off, and you were introduced to Madonna, of course, and you became her guitar teacher as well. And then a month later, you were invited to join Madonna for David Letterman. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it was, you know, moving out to L.A. was one of the hardest things that I've ever done. And I had a band there, or, you know, with us, you know, three other guys that I grew up with. And we were called My Remains, MyraMains.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it was really hard to leave that. And we were, you know, we had a great following where we were. And coincidentally, actually, one of the songs that we did when I was 15, I was always the youngest. That means everybody was 16. We were teenagers. And one of the songs someone just posted, and they put it up on YouTube, and then I just tweeted it out. You should follow me on Twitter, by the way. I'm at Monterific. M-O-N-T-E. RRIFIC. Anyway, I just tweeted out a video, a YouTube video with the song, and I haven't heard this song in a long time, and it's just kind of, I've been thinking about all of that recently, like the last few days, and it was a really hard thing to leave, but you know, it's just kind of like I'm glad I did it. Of course, I'd do it over again. It's great listening back.
Let me ask you, for people that are at the point where you were at 24, who may be in a band that's getting a lot of a lot of local press, people rave about you, you got your fan base, how do you know, what is your advice to musicians as far as how do you know when it's time to leave and move on and to go out and seek your fortune in the world?
The answer is kind of always right under your nose. Sometimes you don't see it, but Chris Sheehan was a singer for My Remains, and we were recently talking. We're going to get together and do some open mic nights in New York in the next month and play together, and then play on our own and get some friends to play. And because I like doing open mic nights, because it can be a big party and you don't have the pressure of a show. You learn a lot because you're in a very foreign environment. You just plug in and that's your sound and you have to deal with it.
Right.
But we were saying that, you know, it's good to be from somewhere and to go somewhere else. It was good for me to grow up in Texas and move to LA. And like now, you know, I want to do some shows now on the East Coast and hit New York and stuff like that. And, you know, there's something about being an outsider and coming in that people like, because no one knows you, and so they get to know you.
So you think that you know instinctively when to go? I mean, how can you be sure that you're not going too soon or that you're going too late? Is there any formula to being able to tell that, or you just have to go when you feel the calling and just hope for the best?
Yeah, I don't believe in there's a too late or you're too old. I don't subscribe to that at all. You know, it's especially with where we are with technology right now, with the way you can get your music out there. And, you know, if you really think about it, do you really care if someone is in their 20s or their teens making music? You know, a lot of the stuff that I like, the people are older anyway. Because, you know, you know more about life and you've lived more.
Well, you know, that's a great perspective that you have, because I know a lot of musicians that I kind of hear them saying things. It's almost like it's a defeatist mentality, because I hear them, they're in their 30s and 40s, and they came to L.A. from other parts of the country, and they all wanted to either be in a rock band or a jazz band or whatever type and be famous at that. And for some reason, it didn't work out for them. And they look at all of these, for some reason, they're fascinated with all of these people on YouTube, like these children that can play these incredible harmonics and these virtuoso type pieces on YouTube. And it kind of makes them feel a little sad, because I don't know why, because for whatever reason, they feel that the young people now are going to make their dream come true and that their time has passed. Do you have any advice for people who may be in their late 30s, 40s, or even 50s who wanted to really be at the status level, say maybe that you have, but for whatever reason it didn't work out? Can you help them feel positive and feel motivated again about
that? Yeah, Don't listen to other people. Just listen to yourself. Just do what you like. If you like metal and people tell you that metal is not cool, then who cares what they think? Do what you want to do. If you like jazz, if you want to start a polka band and someone said, you know, oh, that's not cool, I mean, do what you want to do. Don't listen to anyone else. It's usually someone who would take the time to give you their opinion and telling you that something's not cool, but you shouldn't be listening to their opinion anyway. It's not about staying on the horse. It's about getting back up on the horse, because you never stay there. What goes up comes down. That is one fact of life that you can't get around. And I'll tell you, somebody who's really inspiring to me is Ray LaMontagne. You know who that is?
This guy. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much of this is true or not, but, you know, still an inspiring story, you know, whichever way. But I was told that he didn't even start playing until he was like 33 or something like that.
Right.
And he's married with kids, and you know, I'd still be listening to him if he was 75 years old or if he was 15 years old. I'm not going to go, oh, what? The guy's in his 30s? Like, well, it's still incredible music. I mean, really incredible music.
Now, I know.
Just don't listen to anybody but yourself. Do what you want to do.
I know some really great musicians, but they feel, and this is their words, not mine, but they feel that they're lacking in social networking skills and just can't quite bond with the more hip, cool cats of music. So they said that they found themselves ending up playing wedding bands and birthdays, and they never were able to quite bond with musicians in the 80s when they came out here, maybe when they were young and wanted to be in that great big rock band. What do you think socializing is very important within anything really, but especially within music? Because a lot of times I hear musicians say that the reason that that they couldn't quite make it because they couldn't bond with the other musicians, or they didn't want to stay out and, you know, drink and party and do their thing. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, that is part of it right there. But, you know, that might be a situation where you go and you try another city. You know, if you're talking about L.A. in the 80s, the way that happened is, you know, it started out. I mean, I love this story here that you had Quiet Riot for the first band that, you know, that got a record deal. And Quiet Riot were kind of like a more advanced version of, you know, some of the late 70s rock bands. And then after Quiet Riot, then rap hit it. And then after Rat, that's what, you know, Motley Crue were already doing it on their doing it themselves. And partially because they lived in that area. They lived right off the Sunset Strip.
Right.
And so they're always out and always getting the friends to come to the shows. You know, what people don't realize, a lot of these clubs in L.A., they're not that big. You know, so and there's a lot of people in L.A. You can pack the places. You know, but on the downside of that, there's a lot of things to do in L.A. There's a lot of different clubs that people could be going to, and there's a lot of people playing.
How important is the social networking skills? I mean, what if you, I don't know if you've come across this, but have you come across musicians that are really, really good at playing their instruments, but they're more introverted and more quiet, but yet they secretly wanted to be in that big rock band? They came here in the 80s and they wanted to, you know, find their fortune playing for a hot rock band, but their personality just didn't quite mesh with the other guy. So they kind of either when they auditioned, they didn't get in, or they got in for their talent, but then because they couldn't bond, they were kind of booted out. And what advice do you give to those people who now are in their 40s and they kind of feel a little sad that it never worked out for them?
Well, I feel like it's never too late. So I wouldn't say that it would be over for them yet. You got to have, number one, you have to have good songs. Someone once told me, they said, hey, look, there's nobody out there that doesn't like good songs. And that's true. And then you have to have a reason for people to come see you play. You have to either show off your skills or have some sort of show. Or you want it to be, you know, you want people to go out and have a good time, because it's, you know, it can be an ordeal to go pay for parking and
right.
pay to get into a club and pay
mm-hmm.
for the expensive drinks. So now something that was My Remains, the band I played with in Texas, what we did is we booked shows with other bands that we were friends with. That way, because a lot of times you'll book a show and you don't know any of the other bands. But this way, people would come to the show and they'd stay for the whole night. Then it always turns into a big party.
Right.
You know, if for the people who don't like to party and all that, I mean, it's, when you're there playing, it is work. It's your job. And, but, you know, I do like to have some whiskey and play guitar. I admit that.
Right.
So you got to keep all that in check, and it's not always easy because it's fun. There's nothing like having some drinks and,
right.
and playing some music. Although, if you've never done that, don't start.
I agree with that. Now, what do you do to ensure, let's talk guitarist. What do you do to ensure the best chance for success as a guitarist in the music industry these days? What can you do? You come from another town to LA to seek your fortune. You're a guitar player. What do you do? What's the first thing you should do?
Well, for me, what works for me is versatility. And, you know, from being able to play all different kinds of styles. Because if you want to play as a professional musician, you may not get to play what you want to play. I mean, when I came to L.A., I wanted to start I could have done anything. There wasn't one thing, but I would have loved to have started a metal band or joined a metal band. And I did. I joined Prong the first month that I moved to L.A. And Prong are one of my favorite bands, still are. And Tommy Victor is a singer and guitar player for that band. That's his band. And I learned, you know, so many things from him. Just, you know, here I am playing with one of my guitar heroes. And, you know, I always say it's bad luck to turn down a gig. Never turn down a gig. I've done some gigs that are, you know, that I would never tell anybody about.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not ashamed of anything that I've ever done in the past. I feel like if I'm playing on it, I'm going to make it as good as I can make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. You know, you can't really look back. You just have to look forward.
So some of your advice is to just accept every gig that you get asked to play. Is there any?
Absolutely, because you never know who you're going to meet in those gigs.
That's right. That's right. And do you recommend that they look in any sort of, like, Music Connection has a lot of ads for auditions for bands, for guitarists, et cetera, et cetera. When you come to L.A. and say you're a guitar player, and you go to an audition, you say, oh, this sounds good. You talk to the guy on the phone, you go, and you start playing with them. What are some of the warning signs that you should look for to make a decision that maybe this is not the band? Because what if they say, oh, we love you, we want you to play, but maybe you don't know because you're not sure if this band has the potential for success, or should you play in it anyway? Because as you said, you never know.
I think that you should go about it like you're going to bring something to the table and make it something that you like. I don't know if you remember this back in, 2000 and something, Limp Bizkit were looking for a guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this huge audition. And that band was not my cup of tea, but I do recognize that the musicians in the band were very talented musicians. And so a friend said, you know what, you should go try out for that. And I was like, no way. And then I was thinking, like, well, what if I could bring something to the table to make it kind of cool? And so I stood in line with everybody else and I went and auditioned, and they never got around to choosing anyone, but we would jam together off and on for about a couple of months. And then I like to go on tour prom. But for me, what I wanted to bring to the table with them is kind of make them more like U2 meets Meshuggah,
mm-hmm.
Which was the band from Sweden. But anyway, we had some great jams, but nothing ever came out of it. But that's a situation where it's a band that I wouldn't, after meeting all great guys and all that. So,
now are you
bad to say about that situation, but
I'm sorry, we keep overlapping. The cell phones keep cutting each other out here. We're just fighting. I think you're finished. You think I'm finished, and we're talking. I apologize. How do you feel about, going to school, learning the core basics of music, like how to read and write, versus picking up the guitar or any instrument and trying to be self-taught?
What my guitar teacher taught me is that you're going to learn more going out on the road with somebody than you're going to learn at a music school. And I never, I took some classes here and there, and that's true. You have to experience it. Playing music is not something you learn from a book. There's the music theory, there's all that kind of stuff, but you have to, it is a feeling that you have to transmit that feeling from you to the listener.
How do you figure, like, when you're starting out playing guitar, so you're listening to all these different artists, and you say you're interested in jazz, you're interested in country, you're interested in playing for all different types of music. Are you supposed to at some point say, well, you know what, I should probably focus more on one style because I want to pursue that as my main type, style of music to play for, rather, or just continue playing all different types? Like, do you specialize or do you just continue playing for all different types? It's sort of like the question, a master of none,
jack of all trades,
none. Yeah, that's what
it is a little bit of both. I mean, you should be concentrating on what you do best. That's what you should do. But what I'm saying is, well, what worked for me is from being able to play. If I was just only into metal, then when I played for Madonna, it wouldn't have, I would have had to do a lot more because she's gone through every, and just about every style of music in her music.
Right. That's true.
But for prong is just prong. There's no, acoustic songs or anything like that. It's just, you know, crank it up and go.
Crank it up and go. So you recommend if someone comes out here to pursue a career in music, they should look in Music Connection, maybe do some word of mouth kind of, hey, I'm a guitar player, I'm available, maybe go to all the auditions, try to network as much as possible. Is it harder for people, because there are so many people that I had no idea were introverts, but they want to be, they want to play for rock bands, they want to play for bands that are, you know, the top styles today. But is it, and it's harder for them to go out and audition and to be in a band when they don't really have those socializing skills. Do you still say go out and force yourself when it's an uncomfortable, unnatural state for them? Or what advice do you give them? Because I you wouldn't believe how many musicians I come across who want to be you, Monty Pittman, and play for Madonna, yet they're shy and quiet and they're just into their instrument.
Sometimes being in an uncomfortable situation will bring the best out in you. And, you know, that's how you bring the best out in yourself. So, yeah, I wouldn't say just because, you know, because it's never going to be easy. If it's easy, then something may be wrong. But,
that's right. So challenge
yourself. Yeah, I think. Challenge yourself and always push yourself. Never rest on your laurels, so to speak.
Oh, my. Now, it is so competitive these days. What can somebody do who comes out here, guitar player comes out here, so competitive, what can you do to get an edge up or a leg up on the competition?
Yeah, well, that goes back to just you have to be the best that you can be. You shouldn't be coming out there and trying to be better than Yngwie Malmsteen or Steve Vai. You know, and that's not what those guys were trying to do. They were just being the best that they could be and always making themselves better guitar players and better at their instrument.
That's right. Yeah. Now,
and I seriously doubt that any of those guys ever listened to what anybody said of this isn't cool or you shouldn't do this.
That's right. That's true. I mean, I just saw the Beach Boys recently. I think it was on the Grammys, and I was thinking, oh, I'm so proud of you guys still out there rocking and rolling and doing your thing. God bless them. Now, who are some of your idols in music?
Right now?
Your guitar idols.
Right?
I want to focus on
guitar idols of all time. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's so many. Right now, I'd say who I'm into the most is Freddie King, who's an old blues guitarist. Jeff Beck, Bon Iver, you know, that group, they just won a Grammy for the best new artist.
Right.
Ray LaMontagne again.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of bands, you know, a bunch of, you know, metal guitar players, Tommy Victor from Prong, Dino Cazares from Fear Factory, you know, Metallica. Steve Vai, Jimmy Page. Been getting into a lot of Billy Gibbons lately. Dimebag Darrell, of course.
And do you play any other instruments besides guitar? I'm not, you know, too familiar.
Yeah, I play bass. I played bass on Madonna's Confessions tour because sometimes there's some songs that don't have any guitar. And so I played bass and some stuff on that. And then for Prong, when I first joined Prong, it was a four-piece, and I played guitar. Prong has always been a three-piece. But then, you know, for a little while, I played guitar, and then it was, you know, there was two guitars in Prong. And then in 2007, I played bass on the Power of the Damager album.
Now, I
used to play a little piano, and I used to play the drums when I was a kid before I played guitar.
You do everything, don't you, Monty Pittman? I play the little thing that you bang on your hand, and that's about it. I can't even remember the name of it. The little thing with the bells on it. Oh, God, I can't remember that. Question for you. What are three characteristic traits that you feel over the decades of experience that you've had that it takes to be to make it in the music business or to be a successful musician? What are three characteristic traits that you think definitely you have to have.
You have to have a great personality and a great attitude and get along well with people. You shouldn't look at being in a band with people, everyone's going to be different and everyone's going to like different things. And I always say, instead of focusing on how you're different, focus on how you're alike.
Mm.
You know, focus on the things that you do like.
Mm.
You have to have a good attitude, because it's really hard being on the road. It's hard being away. You're going to be away from your family or your friends. You're going to be away from somebody. And it becomes, you'll have to do, you play a show Monday night and Tuesday night, and you're still tired. You haven't recovered from those shows, and you've still got to play Wednesday night. And you just have to keep going through it. That's the first thing is personality. You have to have the drive to keep going. And if you love it enough, then nothing's going to stop you. And what I said earlier, it's not about staying on the horse. It's how you get back up when you fall off.
Right.
Because you're going to fall off, and you're going to get back up, and you're going to fall off again. So it's how you get back up.
Mm.
I think that's been one of the big key to success, for me personally.
I'm sorry, go ahead. When you fall down, what would that mean? Like, how would one fall down? Like, they're kicked out of the band, or what are some of the meanings for when you fall down in music?
I wouldn't say like that, like getting kicked out of the band or anything, but falling off could mean a lot of things. It could be your inspiration. Like for me, I'll have a period of time, and it's usually around December, January, and every time I pick up the guitar, I'm writing something. Right now, if I pick up the guitar and try to write you something, I don't know if I could do it. And it just, inspiration comes in waves. I mean, all things musically come in waves. And, that's another way you could, I think that's another analogy you could use, is wait for the next wave to come along. You just have to keep getting yourself going again. You may get tired, and you may, kind of want to give up, and that's when you got to just push yourself to keep going again. Let's say you do a tour. Say you have a successful band, and you have a successful album, and you go on tour. Well, then you get off tour, and you have to do it again. You have to go through that inspiration again. You have to write even better songs.
Mm.
And then you got to go on tour again, and you got to play even better shows.
Mm.
At least that's the way that I look at it. Some people look at it like, okay, I played and I went on tour and that's it. But because we all want different things. I'm going to always be doing this.
Mm.
When I'm an old man, I'm still going to be playing.
You're not.
And that's kind of like, for me doing my own solo stuff, I've always wanted to play. I've always wanted to do something. I never really took being Monty Pittman that seriously. So I think it's something I would do later in life, I guess you could say. Because I still look at it like I'm still young. But,
right. What is your dream now? You're a very successful guitar player, musician. What is your dream for the remainder of your life? What would be your idea dream to accomplish in the next phase of your life?
I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. I want to keep playing. I'm going to be. It's going to gravitate more towards, Monty Pittman, the solo artist. And by the way, you had mentioned my new album. It already came out.
It did.
You had said that it was coming out in October.
That's what I got from Steve. I'm going to get Steve. October.
Oh, it's okay. That must have been when it was sent to you.
Yeah.
But,
My
second album, Pain, Love, and Destiny, came out, and it's been doing great. It's been a nice, slow, steady progression, and that's all I could ask for. When I get off this next Madonna tour, I'm going to start recording the third album, and then my set live is just going to be dynamite.
Now,
and I mean, I, I, it's where I want it to be where, like, I can't even put in all the songs. I'd love to have a two-hour show. You know, not everywhere will let you play that. I just played at the Whiskey on Saturday, and we had put together an hour-and-a-half show, and then they told us, oh, no, you only have 45 minutes, and so we had to cut it down.
Oh, my God.
That's fine.
Well, see, you got to roll.
We had a perfect set dialed in, but...
Well, let me ask you, for people who don't know your music, Pain, Love, and Destiny, what is it? What type of music would you say it is? Is it rock?
It's rock. Yeah, it's rock. I put out my first album a couple of years ago. It's called The Deepest Dark, and it's just acoustic guitar and vocals.
Okay.
And that way I could recreate it anywhere because it's really hard getting people together in L.A. to play.
Oh, yeah.
The two guys that play with me, Kane Rashad and Max Whipple, they play in a band called Voss de Franz that are a killer up-and-coming band there in L.A. And so they've always got stuff for their band that they're doing. So I've got to get them away to do stuff. And then eventually I'm gonna add another guitar player and a keyboard player live, but it's I've got enough on my plate getting two guys who can make it to rehearsal.
Let me just put it out there. My husband's one of the greatest guitar players ever. You got to check him out. I'm going to send you some of his YouTube links.
He can
rock that guitar like there's nobody's business. I know his Joe Pass is his idol, and he played Brown. The guitar player
Ray Brown.
I think it was, and he said to Albert, he said, what are you doing going to school? You need to be playing out. You're one of the greatest guitar players. You need to stay with it, man. And I didn't mean to plug him. You just got me all excited. I thought, oh my God, the Albert would love that. But yeah, I'm going to send that to you. He's really great. And he's an easygoing guy. You'd love him. But, I wanted to talk to you about this album right now, The Pain, Love, and Destiny.
Oh, yeah.
Now, where can we find that? Yeah. Is that on CD Baby? Where can we
CD
get it?
CD Baby, and it's also on iTunes.
You get on
Amazon also. I mean, for me, I get everything on iTunes. But
yeah,
you can get
too.
It there on iTunes. On CD Baby, you can get the actual physical CD that they'll send to you.
That's the way that works. I'm still old school.
You asked me, So Pain, Love, and Destiny was going to be an acoustic album with drums and bass and like sequencing and keyboards and stuff like that and like some programming. But from my live show, I started I had these acoustic songs, but to make up some time for a set, because you can't play acoustic songs for a whole show.
Right.
You can, but you want to make it a little more interesting than
right.
that. I started doing some songs with some guitar solos, and people liked that. And people would tell me after the show, like, yeah, we want more of that. And when you're playing music, you're playing for your audience. It's not about you up there. It's about
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And so from putting some guitar solos or choosing the songs that I have with guitar solos for Pain, Love, and Destiny, after you have that electric guitar on there, Noah Shane, the guy who produced the album, he's like, okay, well, you got to be playing something here. And I was like, no, but I don't want to make a rock album.
Right,
and I
right.
just kept on in one day. He's like, I know you don't. And I was like, you're going to make me make a rock album, aren't you? He's like, yeah, it's coming out of you. So it is a rock album. And then the next album is, I've got a lot of blues stuff that I'm writing.
Oh,
and then some stripped down acoustic. I mean, I'm from Texas, so it's about time I start getting into that.
Yeah, get it back to your
that area.
Roots. You better get back.
And I went in with these songs kind of trying to be like Muddy Waters or Freddie King, but it's kind of coming out kind of like ZZ Top and Black Sabbath.
I like it.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
I like it.
And then I've got some more stripped down acoustic stuff, and then there's stuff that's like Pantera and old Metallica, but it's with singing though. It's different. I want to take a lot of things that sound like they don't make sense together, and it makes sense, and it fits in with The Deepest Dark and with Pain, Love, and Destiny.
Oh my God, that's exciting! Now, when is that going to come out? When is that going to be done? You think, or you haven't even started yet?
Oh.
But with baby buddy.
The end of next summer, summer 2013.
Yeah. Hey. Well, if I.
Well, I've got this.
I'm sorry.
I've got this tour that is that's at least going until, you know, the end of the year.
Okay.
And then once people hear this album, who knows?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I am a Monty Pittman fan, and we are at the end of the show because our show's only 50 minutes. I can't even believe it. It's like we only been talking 15 minutes, and I'm very sad we got to go, people, because Monty Pittman is just it's such a joy to even have you on here, and I'm very sad that we have to say goodbye, but I want everyone to check his website out, MontyPittman.com. He was just on, by the way, I didn't get to bring it up, but he just played for Madonna at the Super Bowl, which I wanted to talk about, and I'm so bummed out. But just real quick, how was that playing at the Super Bowl for Madonna?
That was amazing. It was very calm. You know, it wasn't like what you think, like, oh my God, I'm playing the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Everybody was so focused. It was kind of quiet in the hallways. It wasn't like people screaming and it was very focused.
Oh.
And just being there on that stage, I'll never forget, like a prayer, looking up at all those, the audience had these flashlights, and it was so surreal. It was something I'll never forget. It's one of the coolest sights that my eyes have ever seen.
Oh, I like
especially
that.
playing a show. It was something I'll never forget.
Well, I tell you, it was a quick
12 minutes. Yeah.
People out there can only dream to have what you have, Monty, and I wish every one of their dreams to come true. So I wanted to
thank you.
Yeah. So I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on my show. God bless you. I wish you only the best. I'm a Monty Pittman fan. I'm going to buy your album, and I want you to tell me, have your people tell me when your album's coming out, because I want to advertise it, make sure everybody knows it's coming out. You promise?
No, I will. It'll be a while. I mean, because, you know,
I'm
focusing on now is Pain, Love, and Destiny and getting the word out on that all year.
All right. Well, I'm
going to have everything ready to go for the next one.
I'm going to advertise it next week on my show. So Pain, Love, and Destiny is going to be advertised every single week for a whole month.
Yeah.
Woo! Well, thank you so much, Monty. Thank you for giving such great advice. I'm going to be a Twitter fan and a Facebook fan, and I'm going to send you that link to my husband. Maybe you'll grace him with a good little audition. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Monty Pittman at MontyPittman.com. Get out there and buy his latest, Pain, Love, and Destiny. Thank you, Monty.
Yeah, buy the first one, too.
Oh, the first one, too. What's the name of the first one again? Real quick.
It's called The Deepest Dark. The Deepest Dark.
The Deepest Dark, CDBaby.com, iTunes. Say goodbye to your fans, Monty.
Bye, everybody, and thank you all so much.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.